wives. Practice the new and everlasting covenant of eternal marriage, or be damned, thus saith the Lord.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minnesota.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and I just moved. And the room that I have now, I've got my own office, which is better than what I had before in the living room. But it's empty, and it's really echoey. So if you're hearing an echo and it sounds a little different, that's why. It'll probably work itself out in a couple of weeks. Anyway, today you're going to get a special treat because you're invited to an FMEFHE, a former Mormon's excuse for a family home evening. You'll be hearing from myself, my wife Krista, and our daughters Emma and Layla. But before that, I've got a few more things I've got to tell you about this excellent merchandise that we have available for you today. So go onto our website, infantsonthrones.com, look at the tab that says t-shirts, and you can place an order that will either ship to you or you can pick up if you'll be attending Sunstone. Now, we'll also have some extra at Sunstone, so you can purchase there if you don't get to pre-purchase ahead of time, but we're not going to be bringing a ton of stuff. So the best way to guarantee that you'll get it is to place an order now. So I just want to tell you a few things about these t-shirts that you may not already know. First, they're 100% cotton. 100%. That's a full commitment to cotton. There's no half-assing it on the cotton on these shirts. Now, they're also wrinkle-free. Now, they don't wrinkle at all. Not a one. They tried it once, but they didn't like it. These shirts will never look disheveled. They will only ever look disheveled. These shirts also will never stink. There is an anti-stink guarantee with each shirt. Honest. These shirts will also protect you from harm. Seriously. Fire, chainsaw, battery acid, snake bites, Indian burns, noogies, titty twisters. You're protected from it all. Now, they don't actually counter the effects of alcohol if you wear them while you're drinking. And rather than warding off the sexual advances of others, they actually make you irresistibly and unapologetically attractive. So watch yourself, but they're pretty awesome. And the mugs? Well, these mugs, they can transform water into any other liquid that you desire. And they'll wash away your imperfections with every swig, and they'll give you incredibly good health and long life. Some pretty awesome mugs. So, lucky you. This IoT merchandise is all, well, it's not magic per se, but it's special. Maybe sacred even. And what's better, all of these awesome features are 100% guaranteed.
100% guaranteed.
Conditional only upon your faithfulness and, of course, the will of God. So if you get these shirts and this mug and it takes a while for all these awesome features to kick in, just be patient. It's not our fault. It's either yours or God's, or maybe you just didn't pay enough when you bought them at the low, low price of $20 per item, and you just need to pay us a little bit more. But all of that can be easily remedied. So, you know, again, go to our website. They're there, pre-purchase, and we'll see you at Sunstone. So I gave you my mom yesterday. Now you get my wife and two of my daughters. And here is our excuse for a family home evening. Discussing the eternal principles, the new and everlasting principles revealed from Jesus Christ himself to the founding prophet of Mormonism, Joseph Smith Jr. It's a great conversation. I think you'll all really enjoy it. All right, so tonight is Wednesday night, so it's not the traditional night for a family home evening, but we're kind of doing a family home evening. Do you know what that is, Layla?
No. I've done them before, but I have no idea what that is.
Okay. So, girls, we have Emma here. You're going to be 16 in a month.
Yes.
And Layla, you're going to be 13 in 2 months.
Yeah.
Basically. And Krista, I know, I'm getting the death look.
No, you're not.
You're going to be 40 in a couple of years.
Yeah, in years.
Yeah, I mean, right.
No, in a few years. I'm going to be turning 40.
Yay! Yeah, I'm 44.
Same. Oh my gosh.
You're old.
So, girls, you're getting ready to go to girls' camp next week. I'd like Emma to tell me a little bit about why you're going and.
Why I'm going?
Yeah.
Is because of the person to my left.
Because of the person to your left? Because
yes.
of Layla?
Yes.
So, does she want to go?
I asked her if she wanted to go. I invited her. And then when I found out that she said that she wanted to go, then I was like, okay, well, then we can go together and it'll be fun and we can spend time one-on-one.
Because Layla's never been to girls' camp or, like, really even church. So you've been here in Bloomington for a little over 3 years. Your mom and I got married 3 years ago, but we've never gone to church.
You're not missing
we've
out.
We've gone twice.
We've gone, but not to, like, the youth classes. We had the sacrament meeting. But Emma goes every once in a while. With your mom, and your granddad is the bishop, and your grandma's the young women's president. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you're getting ready to go to young women. So I thought that for us, for family home evening tonight, it would be nice to read a chapter out of the scriptures. And I've decided to pick the Doctrine and Covenants. Do you know what the Doctrine and Covenants is?
D&C. Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
But what is it? What is the D&C?
The Doctrine and Covenants.
Do you know what it is?
The Doctrine and Covenants of...
But like, who wrote it? Where does it come from? What's it all about?
The Bible?
Heavens.
No. Is it?
Not the Bible.
Oh, honey.
Uh-oh.
Oh, gosh.
No, so when...
I feel proud and not at the same time.
Proud's fine. You can go with proud.
And not also...
So this is an educational experience then. So Joseph Smith, and since you're going to be at girls' camp, you're going to hear all this stuff. And you've been going to young women's the last couple of weeks getting ready for girls' camp.
Who's Joseph Smith?
He's the guy that found the golden plates.
Yeah, speak louder.
He's the guy who found the golden plates.
Yeah.
I think I know that from the Book of Mormon.
From the Book of Mormon musical?
Yeah, from that.
Yeah.
What else? Did he copy them down and, like, preach?
Yeah.
Or is that someone else?
No, that was
him?
Yeah.
Well, did he? Oh, he spoke to God.
He spoke to God.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, he led them, and he met Moroni, and then he led them to the Promised Land.
The Promised Land.
That was Brigham Young, his good friend.
Well, he tried and then he died, didn't he?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
So he was the founder of the church. He's the prophet of the church.
First prophet
of the church and president of the church. And so, in talking to God, he would get revelations from God, and God would basically speak through him, and he would write it down, or he would have somebody write it down for him. Like, as he was talking, there would be a scribe that would write it down, and then those things got published as scriptures so that people would have it. And first it was called the Book of Commandments, but then that got destroyed, and there were other things that happened, and eventually it got turned into what's called the Doctrine and Covenants. So the Doctrine and Covenants, we're going to be reading section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Mm. And this is Joseph Smith giving a revelation. So we're just going to go to the church's website, lds.org, and it says, I'm going to read this to you, and I just want to make sure you understand it. So I'll ask you a series of questions as we go through it. So section 132 is a revelation given through Joseph Smith the prophet at Nauvoo, Illinois, recorded July 12, 1843, relating to the new and everlasting covenant, including the eternity of the marriage covenant and the principle of plural marriage. What is that?
Polygamy?
Yeah. Do you know what plural marriage is, Layla?
Is it like when one guy marries a whole bunch of people or women?
And you're going to need to talk louder.
I'm not a very loud person. I mean, except
sure.
I try.
Yeah, so try. So it's one man married to many women. Although the revelation was recorded in 1843, evidence indicates that some of the principles involved in this revelation were known by the prophet as early as 1831.
What
do you think that's in there?
It's covering CYA,
yeah, because there was a young girl named Fanny Alger that was a maid to the Smiths in 1831 that people said that Joseph had an affair with, and he said, no, it wasn't an affair. She was my wife.
He married her, but then kicked her out.
Yeah. Oh, or something.
What a gentleman.
Yeah. But so anyway, so that was back in as early, you know, like the early 1830s, sometime around there. But now it's 1843, and what this hasn't told you is that his wife, Emma Smith,
thanks,
isn't happy with this whole plural marriage thing. And so what happened is Joseph's brother Hiram came to him and said, can't we get a revelation from God, and then I'll give it to Emma, and then Emma will know this is from God, and she listens to me. So you give the revelation and I'll give it to Emma. And so Joseph did this revelation. And as I read this, I want you to keep in mind that this is the voice of Jesus Christ. Okay?
I thought it was God.
Well, Jesus Christ is the God that we're talking about here. So here we go. Verse 1. Verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, my servant Joseph. So this is the Lord's voice. That inasmuch as you have inquired of my hand to know and understand wherein I, the Lord, justified my servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as also Moses, David, and Solomon, my servants, as touching the principles and doctrine of their having many wives and concubines, behold, and lo, I am the Lord thy God, and will answer thee as touching this matter. So let's just pause right there. What did that just say?
That made no sense, but like I get what it's supposed to be like. Okay, play me is okay.
Yeah, so what?
That made no sense.
So what is it saying?
I am the Lord. We're going to talk about this. Like I'll explain to you about polygamy.
Yeah, and why is the Lord going to explain it to him?
Because he's curious.
Because Joseph has asked. He says, inasmuch as you have inquired of my hand to know and understand. So Joseph has asked the Lord, why is it that you had these servants, had plural wives, and God saying, okay, well, since you asked, I'm going to tell you. Okay? Therefore, prepare thy heart to receive and obey the instructions which I'm about to give unto you. For all of those who have this law revealed unto them must obey the same. So what is this saying?
Once you know, you can never go back.
Right.
You have to abide by this. Yeah. There is no choice. It's like the blue pill and the red pill.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If you choose, you've asked me for this, so I'm going to tell you. But once I tell you, you've got to follow it. Okay, verse 4.
It's a trap.
No choice.
No choice. Yeah. For behold, I reveal unto you a new and everlasting covenant. And if ye abide not that covenant, then ye are damned. For no one can reject this covenant and be permitted to enter into my glory. So what does that say? It's using these words, the new and everlasting covenant. What does that mean?
So it's like a new rule, and it's going to last forever.
Last forever. Exactly. And what is the new rule?
Polygamy.
Yeah, to have lots and lots of ladies.
Lots and lots of ladies. So what is a covenant?
A rule.
It's a sacred promise. So you're gonna promise. And what happens if people don't follow this?
They're damned. But that seems very odd, because Mormons don't use that you're gonna be damned.
Well, apparently Jesus does.
I don't know.
Because this is Jesus, that's talking here.
Is that like actually?
And what is damned? And what does damned mean? Damned means, it says here, no one can reject this covenant and be permitted to enter into my glory. So that basically is talking about heaven, the celestial kingdom. So he's saying, if I'm going to give you this covenant, if you don't follow it, you can't get into heaven. Number 5. For all who will have a blessing at my hands shall abide the law which was appointed for this blessing, and the conditions thereof, as were instituted from before the foundation of the world. What's that saying?
just isn't all that new.
Yeah.
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 It's
I just didn't tell you about it. I just called it a new and everlasting covenant, but it's been around since the beginning of the world, so you guys. Right. And as pertaining to the new and everlasting covenant, it was instituted for the fullness of my glory, and he that receiveth a fullness thereof must and shall abide the law, or he shall be damned, thus saith the Lord. This is a little redundant. It's saying things that have already been said before.
I think that's meant as a way to kind of confuse people. Just to be like, oh, yeah, cool.
Or it's sounds bad good. Writing.
That, too.
Well, but again, remember, Joseph Smith wasn't writing this down. He was speaking it. So it was like it was like he was in a trance, and he was saying, thus saith the Lord, and other people were writing it down as he was saying it. So in a tradition of oral speaking, there's a lot of repetition. Things are repeated, and there's formulas that are repeated throughout it as a way of remembering the things that are supposed to be said. So it shouldn't surprise you to see that there's so much repetition in here. Okay?
Is it kind of like being an oracle?
Kind of like being an oracle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not as cool.
Yeah. Verse 7. And verily I say unto you that the conditions of this law are these. All covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations that are not made and entered into and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, by him who is anointed, both as well for time and all eternity. It is confusing. And that too, most holy, by revelation and commandment through the medium of mine anointed, whom I have appointed unto you to hold this power, and I have appointed unto my servant Joseph to hold this power in the last days, and there is never but one on this earth at a time unto whom this power and these keys of priesthood are conferred, are of no efficacy, virtue, or force in and after the resurrection from the dead. For all contracts that are not made unto this end have an end when men are dead.
Is that one sentence?
That's one sentence and one verse. And what it's saying is, and anything that is sealed on this earth by somebody having power will continue into the next world. But if it's not sealed by somebody having power, it will end at the end of the world. And there's only one person that has this power, and it's Joseph Smith. So it's setting up like the covenant of marriage, and it's the everlasting part of the new and everlasting, that it's something that has to be performed by or approved by Joseph Smith, because he's the only one that has the authority to allow people or to seal people into this plural marriage.
At this point in time, did Mormons think that, like, everybody in the world who joined their church would end up becoming polygamist?
No. In fact, at this point in time, it was a secret that this was happening.
Oh.
So in Nauvoo, Illinois, remember I told you about the Book of Commandments? There was a section in the Book of Commandments that talked about marriage, and it said very clearly, one man, one woman, that's it. In the Book of Mormon, there's verses that talk about the sanctity of marriage, and it's one man, one woman, that's it, they shall have no concubines. But this is something that was new and sort of everlasting, and it was
because of Moses and Abraham.
Yeah, but it was very, very secret. There were only a few people who knew about it, and they kept it secret. And in fact, the reason that Joseph Smith was arrested and put into Carthage jail and then murdered was because, that's how he died.
He was assassinated.
Well, he was murdered.
Well, I mean,
it was,
but it's slightly different.
Right, but it was a mob that stormed the jail where he was, and they shot him.
They like executed him.
Yeah, it wasn't like a formal execution. He was going to go to trial and go to court, but these mobsters or mobocrats rose up and they did it. Anyway, yeah, they weren't like mobsters, you see. They weren't like that. But the reason that he was arrested is because he ordered a printing press to be destroyed. And the reason he wanted it destroyed is because it was printing something called the Nauvoo Expositor, which was expositor, the practice of plural marriage, and he didn't want that to be common knowledge. So, no, Emma, at this time, Mormons didn't believe that everyone would be polygamous. Remember, this is 1843, and they're in Nauvoo, Illinois. It wasn't until they made the trek across to Utah, and they were all alone out in Utah, and Brigham Young was leading them in, like, 1854, I think, was when they officially came out.
Super into it.
Yeah, super into it. And it started being public. But at this time, it was private, it was secret, and in fact, Joseph would tell people, no, people accused me of doing this, but we're not doing it. But he really was.
Ouch.
Ouch.
So they knew that so many people were going to be damned because this new covenant, you have to follow it.
Yeah, but keep in mind, it's going to tell you later on exactly who Joseph is thinking of that's going to be damned if they don't follow it.
Oh.
And I'll give you a hint who it is.
His wife.
It's Emma. Not you, but his
Thanks.
Wife, Emma. If she doesn't allow him to do this and accept that he's the only one that's allowed to do this or give people permission to do it, if she doesn't go along with it, she'll be damned. That's why Jesus is giving this scripture.
For Emma.
Because that sounds like something Jesus would say, right?
I feel so bad for that woman.
Yeah.
You understand why she didn't go to Utah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so verse 8. Jeez. Behold, mine house is a house of order, saith the Lord God, not a house of confusion. Will I accept of an offering, saith the Lord, that is not made in my name? Or will I receive at your hands that which I have not appointed? And will I appoint you, saith the Lord, except it be by law, even as I and my Father ordained you before the world was? I am the Lord thy God, and I give unto you this commandment, that no man shall come unto the Father, but by me or my word, which is my law, saith the Lord. What is that saying? Nothing. It's just establishing Joseph's authority, and it makes it sound all like scripture-like. Yeah, hoity-toity is the right word. And everything that is in the world, whether it be ordained of men, by thrones, or principalities, or powers, or things of name, whatsoever they may be, that are not by me or by my word, saith the Lord, shall be thrown down, and shall not remain after men are dead, neither in nor after the resurrection, saith the Lord your God. The Lord your God saith a lot of stuff in here, and he's reiterating the things that he did before. It's going to be destroyed if it isn't sanctioned by me, or by Joseph Smith, who's the only person that I've authorized to have my power.
In my name.
Mm-hmm. For whatsoever things remain are by me, and whatsoever things are not by me shall be shaken and destroyed. Which is another way of saying what they just said before. Therefore, because this is a logical next step. Therefore, if a man marry him a wife in the world, and he marry her not by me, nor by my word, and he covenant with her, so long as she is in the world and she with him, their covenant and marriage are not of force when they are dead, and when they are out of the world. Therefore, they are not bound by any law when they are out of the world. So that's basically saying that people that are married that don't have this power sealing them, it's what Mormons believe now. You know, you get married in the temple so that you're sealed for all time and eternity. But if you just have a regular marriage in the courthouse like Kristen and I did, then it ends with death. And it doesn't continue into the eternities. Okay?
Good luck, you two.
I know. What are we going to do? Therefore, yeah, I've got a sensitive microphone. I'll be able to pick up what you just said. Therefore, when they are out of the world, these people that didn't have their marriage continue afterwards, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are appointed angels in heaven, which angels are ministering servants to minister for those who are worthy of far more and an exceeding and an eternal weight of glory.
Oh, yeah. That's my dream. To die, go to heaven, and be someone's servant.
Well, but he's saying
you have to get married in the temple.
Yeah, you want to get married to one that lasts so that you don't become a servant.
He did get married in the temple.
But we don't need to go there.
Just not to me. So he has the potential of moving forward.
Stop.
Just not me.
Did you marry my dad in the temple?
No.
Okay.
Oh, geez,
any more dirty laundry you want to air?
No.
Okay. Wow. Okay, verse 17. For these angels did not abide by law. Therefore, they cannot be enlarged, but remain separately and singly, without exaltation in their saved condition, to all eternity. And from henceforth are not gods, but are angels of gods forever and ever. So you understand what this is saying?
Yeah. But that's what I've always hated about the church. And like, even when I was young, I realized this, because I was like, okay, why would people not be able to have all of the glories of heaven if they didn't even know?
Just take the bottles upstairs, Jonah.
Because that's the arbitrary rule.
They don't. Because, like, not everybody practices Mormonism, obviously. Mm-mm. So the people who don't know about this. So I always
you do baptisms for the dead.
Right.
Hello.
And that there's missionaries in the afterlife that teach people and they can be converted.
Really? That's a thing?
Yeah.
That'd be funny. That'd be funny to just have, like, a corpse walking around on clouds. That's why I'm back in heaven.
They're like zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah. They're zombie heaven.
And all the people who are like good Mormons. They're like white and pretty, and they're like porcelain dolls.
And then the rest of us are just like ugly and gross.
Yeah,
guys, I never imagined heaven. I was going to be a skeleton alone in my grave playing Uno by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you do with a skip?
I don't know. I would skip myself.
But would you be perpetually skipped, or would it ever come back to you?
I never thought that far into it.
That's eternal damnation. It's a perpetual skip card.
Why weren't you, like, playing solitaire or something? Like, at least something you
could play. Well, okay, I was 5 when I thought of this, and I thought the Uno cards were pretty.
You probably weren't even allowed to play face cards then, really, were you?
Oh, of course you was. We never had a thing about face cards.
Really?
I was a thug.
Yeah. All right, we're only on verse 18, you guys. There's like 60.
Oh, my gosh.
Are we going through all of them?
No.
Okay, quickly.
Highlights.
Okay, highlights. Let's skip ahead because there's a lot of repetition in here.
I'm so surprised.
There's more stuff here about angels and being gods and abiding by the law. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth, and blah, blah, blah. Broad's the gate that leads to hell.
Straight is the gate, is the gate.
Is
the
gate. Is that like you're doing a Grease song?
She is.
Okay, and then there's stuff in here, like verses 30. I'm scrolling through this really quickly because I've lost your attention, which is fine. You can keep talking. I loved the Uno card story and the corpse on the cloud. That was great. Good stuff.
They were all, like, green. And have you ever seen that episode of Johnny Test where they drink the potion made by the sisters and they turn into, like, lumpy green things when their hair falls out? And they were trying to get Gil, and that's kind of how I imagine them.
That's non-Mormons? After death.
Yeah.
But the lumpy green stuff.
Okay.
Mormons are like porcelain dolls.
So let's pick up in verse 41, because this is fun. As ye have asked concerning adultery, what's adultery?
Polygamy?
No.
No. When you're married, you're not supposed to have, like,
relations
on the side.
With people that you're not married to.
Oh, so no side dishes.
Yeah. So it's cheating. So adultery is cheating. Yes.
Oh, I'm 12.
Yeah. Yes. So as Joseph has asked the Lord concerning adultery, don't ask me why he asked, but he did, apparently. It's written here. As you have asked concerning adultery, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man receive a wife in the new and everlasting covenant, and if she be with another man, and I have not appointed unto her by the holy anointing, she hath committed adultery and shall be destroyed.
Not damned. She will be destroyed. Obliterated.
What if he has committed adultery?
Well, we'll get to that. If she be not in the new and everlasting covenant, and she be with another man, she has committed adultery. And if her husband be with another woman, and he was under a vow, he hath broken his vow and hath committed adultery. And if she hath not committed adultery, but is innocent and hath not broken her vow, and she knoweth it, and I have... And I reveal it. This is really weird. This is a weird verse, okay? If she hath not committed adultery, but is innocent, and hath not broken her vow, and she knoweth it, and I reveal it unto you, my servant Joseph, then shall you have power, by the power of my holy priesthood, to take her and give her unto him that hath not committed adultery, but hath been faithful, for he shall be made ruler over many.
Wait, so, like, the girl that does a good job, she gets a new husband?
If the husband of the woman, so if a husband cheats, but the woman hasn't cheated, then Joseph basically has the power to dissolve their marriage and take her and give her to somebody else.
Like a puppy?
Mm-hmm.
Like a puppy? You know, actually, I think puppies
are really
treated
sick
a
owner
lot.
Of puppies.
Yeah, I think
which,
puppies are treated a lot better.
Which Warren Jeffs in
Colorado City
did do. He did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
I think that's my new favorite word, though. Knoweth.
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 Okay.
Could be a fun name. Knoweth.
Hey, Knoweth.
Like,
Noah. Okay, so let's go to verse 51. Verily I say unto you, a commandment I give unto mine handmaiden Emma Smith, your wife, whom I have given unto you, that she stay herself and not partake of that which I commanded you to offer unto her. For I did it, saith the Lord, to test you all, to prove you all, as I did Abraham, that I might require an offering at your hand by covenant and sacrifice. So what this is suggesting here is that Joseph told Emma that she could have another husband too, but now Joseph is taking it back.
And saying
the reason that I said that at that time was I was just testing you, kind of like I did with Abraham and Isaac to kill him, but then don't really kill him. That's what I was doing there. 52. And let mine handmaid Emma Smith receive all those that had been given unto my servant Joseph, who are virtuous and pure before me. And those who are not pure and have said they were pure, they shall be destroyed, saith the Lord God. So that's saying Emma needs to accept all of the wives that Joseph has received because they're pure and they have never committed adultery. But if there were some that said that they had never committed adultery, but they actually had, and Joseph finds out about it, they'll be destroyed.
Poof.
For I am the Lord thy God, and ye shall obey my voice, and I give unto my servant Joseph that he shall be made ruler over many things, for he hath been faithful over a few things, and from henceforth I will strengthen him.
He's been faithful.
And I command mine handmaiden Emma Smith to abide and cleave unto my servant Joseph and to none else. But if she will not abide this commandment, she shall be destroyed, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord thy God, and will destroy her if she abide not in my law. Does this sound like Jesus to you?
How does the whole...
Jesus, I don't know, but...
Sounds said love everyone. It sounds like temple Jesus, you know, where he goes in and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, angry Jesus.
Angry temple flips over Jesus. A table.
Yeah, he's, like, pissed off.
They need a thesaurus, though, because there's so many destroyed.
Wait, what? How does the whole destroying thing work? Do they, like, take a staff and...
No, it's more talking about like eternal damnation. Yeah. Like sending them to hell.
Bazam.
Oh, and then there's more just awful things in here. I am going to just skip to the end because this is my favorite part and what
skip
I want you to
the end.
What I want,
the
yeah.
Your favorite
man and wife, say man and wife. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, verse 61. And again, as pertaining to the law of the priesthood, if any man espouse a virgin and desire to espouse another, and the first give her consent, and if he espouse the second, and they are virgins, and they have vowed to no other man, then is he justified. He cannot commit adultery, for they are given unto him. For he cannot commit adultery with that belonged to him and to no one else. And if he have 10 virgins given unto him by this law, he cannot commit adultery, for they belong to him, and they are given unto him. Therefore is he justified. But if one or either of the 10 virgins, after she is espoused, shall be with another man, she has committed adultery, and shall be destroyed, for they are given unto him to multiply and replenish the earth according to my commandments, and to fulfill the promise which was given by my Father before the foundation of the world, and for their exaltation in the eternal worlds, that they may bear the souls of men. For herein is the work of my Father continued, that he may be glorified.
After a long line of, like, polygamy, did they all end up being related to each other?
Yeah.
Like, by some sort
There's
of...
There's a lot of incestual stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, a lot of six that fingers kind of thing?
No, they're not, like, Amish or anything.
Oh.
Jonas, we're 5 minutes, then we're done. Okay?
Just
aside for a bit. I'm going to come out to get you in a minute, and I better know where you are, because we're seriously just finished. So, what I want to say to you girls is... Remember this.
That's disgusting.
Next week, when your girls camp...
Wait, I want to be number 9 of the 10 version.
You want to be number 9?
Number 9?
I don't know. It just sounds like a fun number.
It sounds like a fun number. Wow. This really may have backfired, babe.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Wait, this sounds fun, Nani. Yeah.
Nani.
Funny.
I love the thought of being someone's property. That's just, yeah. That's my favorite.
So what's really fun, and
if I had to be one, I'd be number nine. Not number 7.
Because at least then I don't have to, like, watch my husband get with too much.
So next time, Emma, that the missionaries come over like they did last week, and they say, can we share a scripture with you?
Run away.
Why don't you ask, can I share a scripture with you?
Oh.
And turn to DNC 132 and read through these verses and say, can you help me understand this? What exactly did Jesus mean when he was talking about the 10 virgins and committing adultery? And I'd be really interested to see how the missionaries respond to that. It would be fun, at least.
Funny.
Okay. Any final words? Because Jonas is done.
He's on your path, isn't he?
Done. Anything more you want to say? Okay.
What's the theme of Girls Camp?
Sweet blessings await you at the temple.
Yep.
Sweet blessings await you at the temple.
Sweet blessings.
So excited.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
If you are married in the temple and you die, your husband can then get sealed to somebody else after you're dead. Guess what wife that makes you? Number one. Guess who else he has? Wife number two. And if she dies, and, you know, he can have as many as he wants. Guess what happens if your husband dies?
You're a widow.
Sucks to be you.
You have to get temple cancellation before you can remarry
you
somebody.
You have to actually... Yeah.
And it's all based in this scripture and the things that started here. Because even though it's called a new and everlasting covenant, when Utah became open about polygamy... They were on the fringe. They were outside of the U.S. They weren't even in the United States anymore. Utah tried to create their own country, but the U.S. wanted the land, and they wouldn't grant Utah recognition as being a sovereign nation. So then Utah said, we'll try and be a state, but the country wouldn't let them be a state because of polygamy. They saw that slavery and polygamy were the two worst things in America. And the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation took care of slavery. So then they went after Utah polygamists, and they passed laws in Congress that they could confiscate the property of polygamists. And so the church in Utah were like, wow, we really have to stop this. So the prophet at the time said, all right, we're going to do it. And this is in the Doctrine and Covenants too. We're going to stop it. And it's kind of funny because he says, I want you guys to know the Lord would never allow me to lead you guys astray, but we're going to stop polygamy. And that's why, like, FLDS, Warren Jeffs, and those other, they broke off at that time because they thought, there's no way that the church has gone astray.
Yeah.
They're just kowtowing to government pressure. They're not doing this new and everlasting covenant. God said here in 132 that once it's revealed, you have to do it or you're going to be damned. And they're more concerned about...
A lot of apostles were still...
There was still some secret stuff that was doing.
There was some secret multiple wives.
There was some secret stuff that was going on. It took a little while for it to die out, but eventually. So, fun family home evening tonight. Do you like it? Do you want to do this again sometime?
Yeah.
Layla likes it. Yeah.
I have no more words for this.
All right.
What night are family home evenings supposed to be
like? Monday. Yeah. All right. We're done.
Teach your children well. Their fathers help. It slowly go by.
This is Trent dwelling in the land of Mordor between two temples. You can comment on this episode on the website infantsonthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.